Esther chapter 10 today, and we've got a short chapter today, 3 whole verses. So let's jump in and read the whole chapter. King Xerxes imposed tribute throughout the empire to its distant shores, and all his acts of power and might, together with a full account of the greatness of Mordecai, whom the king had promoted, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Media and Persia? Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to King Xerxes, preeminent among the Jews, and held in high esteem by his many fellow Jews because he worked for the good of his people and spoke up for the welfare of all the Jews. This brief chapter tells us that Mordecai, unlike Haman before him, used his position to work for the king and not for his own gain. This is a great thing, but even more important than political integrity is that God continued to use Mordecai. The Jewish people were still a conquered people, but God used Mordecai as an advocate for the people of God. The story of Esther deals with a very important theme, and one that is good for us to dwell on regularly. We live in a fallen, messed up world, and it is often hard to see where God is in all of the chaos and mess. We say that God is good, so why is there so much evil? We say God is love, so why is there war? We say that God is in control, so why does it feel like the devil is winning? We make it almost all the way through the book, watching these very conflicting statements play out. Where was God when Esther was carried off, most likely against her will, into the harem of a womanizing, unstable king? Where was God when Haman orders the destruction of the entire nation of Judah? And in the very book that all this takes place, the name of God isn't even mentioned. So what is going on here? Has God truly gone silent? But throughout the book, there have been glimpses of hope, signs that God has not been absent, but rather orchestrating the world events as a whole. Of all the women chosen to be in the beauty pageant, Esther wins, giving her access to the king. Mordecai overhears plans to assassinate the king. Mordecai tells Esther that he knows that salvation for the Jews will come, even if Esther remains silent. The king has a sleepless night, which leads him to be reminded of Mordecai's faithfulness. The king believes Esther and Mordecai, and Haman is executed. The writer of Esther was a master storyteller, considering the end of the story was already known. You know, the Jews are saved. There wasn't any doubt of that for the early readers of the book. They existed, and therefore they had been saved. But how were they saved? That could be suspenseful. The big day of battle, that for 8 chapters the book was leading up to, summarized in a few verses. Why? Because the story was going to end with God keeping his promises, the Jews being delivered, and the enemies of God's people vanquished. No need to go into great detail, but the middle of the story? That's when it's hard to see what is going to happen. Listen, we're all in the middle of our stories. We're walking through life, unsure of what lies ahead, and that can be quite scary. How is God going to work through my cancer? How does God win when the world is full of wars? Where is God when my son breathes his last breath? This world seems to be falling apart, but we are the ones to blame. We have all sinned and deserve judgment and death. Romans 8 tells us that the world itself cries out for its salvation, waiting for the day when the curse of judgment is lifted from it. And it is in this fallen, cursed world that we find suffering, pain, and death. It is in this world that we often cry out to God, wondering where he is. It is in this world that we find ourselves in the middle of our stories. We don't always understand what God is doing when we're stuck in the middle of the story, but we can know the ending. The Bible is very clear about this. God wins. His people are saved. His enemies are judged, and peace reigns forevermore. The book of Revelation speaks of a coming judgment of sin, wickedness, and evil, of a coming day of joy and peace and safety for his people. Revelation 22 contains one of my favorite sentences of the entire Bible. No longer will there be any curse. Pain, suffering, death, all will be removed on that day, the day we enter our eternal home. So what about now? How should we live our lives in light of this truth? Back in Romans 8, Paul reminds us that the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We are heirs with Christ. We will inherit all of creation and the glory and honor of the new creation. We may suffer in this life, but we are promised that we will share in his glory as well. And Peter also reminds his readers that we are foreigners in this world. Like Esther and Mordecai in Persia, we belong to another land. Our citizenship is in heaven, but we live among a foreign people. First Peter reminds us, since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. We have been redeemed, purchased out of slavery. We have a home in heaven. So live your life here, remembering where you belong and who you belong to. Place your trust in the God who has promised you a glorious ending to your story, no matter how dark the middle of your story feels. Thanks for joining us on this journey through Esther on Through the Word. Join us again as we travel through the Bible, one chapter at a time.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.